comes the sun, I say it's all right.
PM only on Double Radio 92.7 FM. Call in is always open at 844-967-2789. Welcome back to another show. Today we're here with Felicia, who is a climate activist from Barland. Would you like to introduce yourself?
Yeah, hi, my name is Felicia Zen. I started in the climate movement by beginning an environmental group at my high school, and I've recently had the opportunity to organize with the Dane County Youth Environmental Committee, and I also recently passed a sustainability resolution in McFarland for the McFarland School District.
I was just wondering, could you kind of describe what the sustainability resolution is? And yeah.
Yeah, so McFarland has taken inspiration from a couple of other schools. I know West and Middleton both do this in creating a sustainability resolution that basically guides the school in future projects and curriculum to include sustainability in every step of the process.
That's really cool. Yeah. I honestly don't know a whole lot about our West policy. I was just wondering like how you see like working with different youth organizations and just kind of the how you kind of narrowed down to focusing on something and getting it passed.
So I've had the opportunity to work with a lot of different youth organizations before. So I've organized with the Sunrise Movement, which is national, and then Wisconsin Conservation Voters, which is state level, Dane County Youth Environmental Committee, which is county, and then McFarland High School, which is, you know, my community. And I think that different youth organizations, when you're at those different levels of size, you have a different goal and a different focus. And I found that throughout my time working with all those organizations, the most meaningful time that I spent in the environmental movement was with my local community group, which is the McFarland Eco Club. And that's what led me to creating a sustainability resolution for my school specifically.
That's really cool. Yeah. So on kind of like a local level, how do you think that will kind of like impact? Bring some of the other skills from your from working at the other organizations to kind of like working on the local level, and kind of how does that play out?
I definitely say I entered high school as quite a shy kid. I think that's pretty normal for people. So working with those different organizations like taught me how to talk in front of adults specifically, mm-hmm. and how to be confident in my ideas and just be secure in the knowledge that like what I'm doing is the right thing. And this is something that is important to both me and the community. So all those skills kind of rolled together to helping me with that sustainability resolution, writing it, presenting it, and all of that. And of course I had a ton of help from people that I met along the way, including my co-president of that group, Emily, and my teachers, all the people in the community, so.
Yeah. How did you get involved in the climate movement? Like kind of what sparked your inspiration, or was it kind of easy or difficult to kind of join?
So I would say I've been interested in climate change for a long time. Actually, recently our school does this thing where you write a letter in sixth grade and you send it to your high school senior self. And I had the opportunity to open my letter and I saw that like sixth grade me was talking about climate change even at that age. So I feel like I've had that interest for a long time, but what really inspired me to actually do something about it was my high school biology teacher, Ms. Canoops, who later became the environmental club advisor. And she was the one who pushed me towards thinking that I could actually do something about this issue on my own and that I wasn't powerless against climate change, even though it is like such a huge problem.
Yeah, for sure. That's really interesting that you were like that young too. And it's cool to like look back at that. How do you think your kind of ideology or your thoughts around climate change has evolved from like sixth grade to now?
I definitely will say sixth grade me was a bit of a nihilist. I wrote in my little letter, I was like, you know, in 100 years, we're all going to be living on the moon and eating chemicals because our Earth has been destroyed by climate change. I no longer believe that is going to be true. I really, like, I think as I grow up and work with all these different people, I have a lot of hope that things are going to change and that we're actually going to be able to do something about climate change, not like reverse it completely right away, but like I think that we're taking important steps that will hopefully lead to a better resolution.
Yeah, for sure. I don't know if that like comment, I guess, is like a sweet comment because you were very passionate about this, or whether it was just like a very, I don't know, less hopeful. But I'm wondering, do you feel like you found hope because you were able to be around people who also kind of believed in the same movement, or like being able to take action, or kind of like, where do you think the hope kind of came from?
One thing that the hope came from is just seeing how many young people are like interested in climate change now and interested in learning more about it. 2 months ago, I had the chance to lead a bunch of fifth graders through the Trash Lab, which is this interactive display put on by the Dane County Landfill. And they were like telling me stuff about climate change that I didn't even know as they were going through this exhibit. And I just think that kids these days, like, they're really knowledgeable and they want to learn more. So that gives me a lot of hope for what the future is going to look like.
Yeah, for sure. I think also just kind of like the education. I think now we have a better grasp on what we're kind of telling kids, and knowing that they like, it really does make an impact to what they're able to do. Do you remember kind of like what you learned about climate change when you were younger?
Yeah, I do remember that when I was younger, it was like climate change was a problem, but it wasn't like the biggest issue facing us. You know what I mean? Like they kind of presented it as, oh, at the end of the school year, we'll devote like maybe 1 week to talking about climate change. And then, you know, you're off to the summer, and no one was really paying attention because we're ready to like be on summer break and all of that. But now I think they definitely take a lot more time to really emphasize the importance of it.
Do you think that's kind of like with the kind of rise of the youth climate movement, or do you think that's like specific? I don't know, I guess. Yeah.
I definitely think that there's a lot more demand from younger people to learn more about climate change, and the teachers are meeting that demand because I think that they also want to provide us with this information. I know that Ms. Knoops, she is really passionate about teaching climate change, and she actually like went forward and created a whole new class just so that she could teach kids more about the environment. And I think that teachers have always wanted that. And when they see that demand from the students, then they're motivated to do more.
Mm-hmm. Were you able to take that class, or is that something that's more new?
It's actually being offered for the first time next year. So I congratulate all the young McFarland students for getting to take that class.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was also wondering, I know you kind of talked about like learning about climate change when you were much younger too. I don't know, for me, and this might just be me specifically, but I feel like I didn't have like the idea, the ideology around like intersectionality and climate change when I was younger. I was wondering if that's something that's always been a part of what you've learned about with climate change, or if that's something that you kind of evolved into.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I definitely agree. It's like, climate change isn't just a science issue. It's also a history problem. It's also like talking about all sorts of different areas. And I don't think I really thought about the intersectionality of climate change until I got involved in the climate change movement and actually started meeting all these people. And they were telling me these different perspectives. And I was like, wow, this is really interesting. And one great thing is, like a couple of months ago, I had the opportunity to be on a Wisconsin Conservation Voters panel or something like that. And this girl, she came on and she talked about how climate change affected community building and how like their community was facing food scarcity and stuff. And I think that was a really interesting perspective to take that wasn't necessarily explored in school.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, so I guess like in terms of like intersectionality, I guess what do you see is kind of, is that something that you see in a lot of the different youth organizations, or is that something more that you see with certain organizations?
I definitely think youth organizations have a way to go in terms of intersectionality, because I do have concerns that some of our organizations aren't as open or as accessible as possible for people. But I think part of that also comes with how young we are and how new to organizing we are. But I do know that we can do better, and I do hope that we can do better in the future.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. You mentioned, I know you talked about McFarland, but also I was wondering with DCYEC, which is Dane County Youth Environmentalist Committee, I believe. what are some of the projects that you have done, or kind of like the individual projects that you've done through that organization?
Yeah, so DCYEC I see as more of like a forum for people who are organizing in their own communities to collaborate and work with each other and learn from each other, which I think is wonderful. I don't think we've done a ton of like straight up group actions yet. I know that a lot of schools have collaborated with each other, but I do see that growing in the future because we're moving towards doing more group actions. For McFarland Eco Club, what I'm most proud of is the sustainability resolution. Obviously, I think we all worked really hard to get that passed. And we've also recently started planting a native plant garden at our school. And I see that as not only an opportunity to collect rainfall and improve the ecosystem of our school, but also to teach more students about like biodiversity and stuff, which I think is really important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, it kind of brings in that education piece as well. I think one thing that we've kind of, or I've tried to bring on is more different opinions from different organizations. And I know like with youth organizations, I think I was talking to someone, I think, and you know, not all youth organizations are the same and they have a lot of different approaches. What would you say are some of the different approaches that you've seen to youth climate action?
Yeah, again, I've been a part of a lot of different organizations, and I think every organization has their own unique approach. For example, like when I was organizing with Sunrise, it was very out loud and it was very like focused on a national scale. Like they were building a movement and a revolution. You know what I mean? So that's very different than what I do in my community. When I think about McFarland Eco Club, I think of it as more like we're doing outreach. We're talking to people. We're learning about their lives, and we're working on like improving the climate together within our community. And both of those are incredibly important, but they're also very different approaches. And DCYEC is more of a forum, open forum for people to talk to each other and learn more. And then the Wisconsin Conservation Voters, I think, is more of like, it's a more well-rooted organization in our community. They definitely have like more established, and I think they have a different role as well in terms of education and such.
Yeah, for sure. And I know we're delve deeper into that after this break. Thank you so much. We are back. The call line is 844-967-2789, and we're coming in with Danielle Krim's music. I can't believe that was 5 months ago that we had her live here on the show. That seems like a really long time ago.
Yeah, no, it does. A lot has happened.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so,
it's been a pretty crazy year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot has happened. And I think we're going to talk about that. I guess kind of thinking about, you know, thinking back to, I guess, how I kind of joined the climate movement. I know that I kind of joined in the time around, there's a lot of flooding in Madison and around Madison, and there, you know, it really hit very close to home, I think, was when I originally joined kind of the climate movement and we started our organization. I'm wondering if there was kind of a similar event or something that kind of caught your attention, Felicia, and yeah.
Yeah, I remember that flooding. It was terrible. My house is near the lake, so I remember like a good portion of McFarland was underwater for a few days. It was not good. I don't think that there was necessarily one event that caused me to like kind of like a switch to flick for me. But I do think it was a lot of things growing up, just realizing like how much climate change, not just affecting me and my community, but also like people around the world, and just being the type of person who enjoyed reading the news a lot as a kid, and getting caught up on those current events and realizing like this is actually something that is really big and not something that we can just wish away or wait away. So
yeah, for sure. Kind of with the like the political climate at the moment, what do you see is, do you think people are kind of joining the climate movement or joining other movements? And kind of, do you see kind of like a rise of more attention to these specific issues? Not only like climate change, but also the movements that are intersectional to climate change.
Yeah, I see two things that I think are very encouraging. The first is climate change is becoming a more important topic. So they actually had a question about climate change in the last presidential debate, and more people are engaging with that question and more people are talking about climate change, which I think is very encouraging because that's the first step to creating change. And the second is I see climate change pulling more people into local politics. So recently I was on a hearing for Line 5, which was this terrible pipeline that was being built by Enbridge. And there were so many like neighbors and community members from all over Wisconsin that came in to talk about Line 5 and speak up against it. And I think more people are voting in local elections, more people are going to their city council meetings. And that's something that climate change has done that I hope continues to grow.
Yeah, for sure. And we just had a local election here. What do you see? I know you kind of talked about Wisconsin Conservation Voters, and I remember when we were here last time, Eric from Wisconsin Conservation Voters was here. What do you see is kind of on the ballot for, not only was on the ballot for August, but is on the ballot for November? And do you think that there will be more people coming, showing up to vote?
Oh, yes. I really hope more people are showing up to vote this year. I actually voted this Tuesday with my sister. That was a great experience, you know, exercising my civic duty. Mm-hmm. But what I see on the ballot is not only climate change, because, you know, like a lot of people are rolling. There was that recent Supreme Court decision that rolled back the EPA's powers. And there's been a lot of turmoil in the space on climate change legislation. So not only climate change is on the ballot, but also I know in Wisconsin, there is people who are running to dissolve the Wisconsin Election Committee. And, you know, democracy is on the ballot. And we say that a lot, and it seems very dramatic, but it truly is when you consider that there are a lot of candidates out there running to destroy the pillars of our democracy. So
Yeah, for sure. And I know last week we were slightly interrupted. And I know that something kind of that I think one person had turned on, and we're talking, you know, like there was this discussion about education. And that's something that we often talk about here a lot. And it was talked about very differently last week because we were not the ones that were on air. But what do you think? I know education plays a huge role in the work that you do. And why do you think it's, in your opinion, kind of so important to protect education, especially with the elections coming up?
Yeah, I think there's two unique types of education that are really relevant to the election. And the first is education on like our democracy, what laws are being put out and what people are doing what. You know, like a lot of legislators, I feel like they pass laws that they think will fly under the radar and then won't be noticed by voters when it comes to election time. And that's very concerning for me. And the second thing is, I think education on who is on the ballot is also very important. Mm-hmm. I recently, when I was going to go vote, I saw like this whole list of people. I was like, some of these people I don't know. Some of these offices I'm not very familiar with. And I think that's an issue, because if you're not familiar with those offices, or if these people are running and you don't know like one name from the other, then it's going to be very difficult for you to make an informed decision that is actually beneficial to you. So. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and these are the people that represent us, and they represent, you know, hopefully they're representing the values that we want to hold as well. So I think it is all very important. Do you have kind of a place where you feel like you, because I know a lot of times people are brought into the climate movement, other movements, by educators, by people who mm-hmm. have, you know, are teachers or, you know, are in education. Do you feel like you kind of play a role in education in a way? And what does that look like for you?
Yeah. So one of the main goals of the McFarland Eco Club was to educate our community. And I think that we did a really good job of that, because we talked to a lot of people. We A big part of education is just talking to your friends, you know, your friends and your family, because once you affect those people in your immediate circle, then they're affecting other people in their immediate circle. And it's a great ripple effect. So I think we did a lot of educating of the people close to us. And I hope that that continues with other organizations. I know that every organization that I've been a part of has made education a priority, which I think is great. So,
yeah. Yeah, that is wonderful. I think too, you know, we're affected by the people that we trust. I think we're very, you know, we have to hear this from people that we trust. And I think, you know, if somebody just tells us, you know, you're doing this wrong, that's not really the best way and the most direct way of educating. But yeah. And I think education also just kind of plays a role in hopefulness. I don't know if you also kind of feel that way too, and like,
Yeah, I totally agree. Because, you know, when I was younger, as I've said before, like, I wasn't very educated about this issue. And I was definitely very hopeless, because I just didn't know, like, what was within my power to do. And now that I've been more educated, I've had the opportunity to take AP US government and learn more about our structures of government. It empowers me to actually be able to do something with the tools that I have. So,
Yeah, for sure. And I know we're coming up on a break pretty soon, and we have a musical guest here. And I think music, as well as we have tried to talk about throughout this whole show, is also another form of education. And I'm really excited. So. And we're back. This is Noemi with IPLS on Air. The call line is 844-967-2789, and we are back for our musical guest section. I believe we have our musical guest on the line.
Hey!
Hi! Do you want to introduce yourself?
Sure! Hi there! My name is Sturgeon. I use he, him pronouns, and I suppose I'm a musical guest today. I'm real excited. This is my radio debut, so I'm hyped to get rocking and rolling here.
That would be great. Yeah, no, and I don't know, I'm just very excited for this. But I was wondering, because you are kind of, I think a lot of our guests are involved in a lot of different, you know, other parts of like social movements, but you are very specific maybe to the climate movement. Maybe not, I don't know. But I guess, how would you describe yourself as kind of like an activist or in some of the work that you do? Yeah.
Yeah, awesome. So technically, I suppose, yeah, I'm super involved in the climate movement and all of that. But I think I originally got into activism mostly for the helping people aspect. I've actually never really been that much into the whole climate and the science stuff, which is funny. But now, once I sort of realized, like, I got into activism, mostly a lot of other people probably have similar experiences, but around 2020 pandemic and, you know, all the Black Lives Matter protests that were going on, and I was struggling with certain aspects of my own identity, becoming a trans man. So I was really into, you know, the people aspect of stuff. And that's really what launched me into activism. But the more I talked with other activists and did more research, it became more and more apparent that, you know, the biggest threat facing humanity is climate change. So it sort of morphed into that. And that's a lot of the stuff that I work on now. But I also lead my school's just sort of a general activism club. So I'm pretty much into all sorts of topics, but mostly the climate stuff. Yeah, I love working on that for sure.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, I know you were at the climate rally the other day. But you also brought, you sent me a couple things. So could you kind of talk about what we're going to be listening to tonight?
Oh, happy to, for sure. So one of the songs is called Johnny, And as I mentioned loosely, I identify as a transgender man, of course. And this one in particular is sort of about that experience, sort of growing up specifically without a strong, really role model, someone to look up to, which I think is very common for a lot of people throughout the LGBTQIA2S plus community, because, you know, aside from the internet, I never really knew a trans adult until here I am. I am a trans adult now, as a couple weeks after my 18th birthday. But yeah, just sort of a story like sort of a fictional thing. What if I had this transgender older brother named Johnny? So it's sort of a story about that, and it's pretty fun. And then the next one, well, I have no idea what order you're going to play it, but the song When My Work Is Done, that one's very simple. I mean, I wrote that in high school with a whole lot of homework. Y'all have been to high school. Y'all have had a whole lot of homework. So it's just sort of a little fun one about staying up late doing homework. And at that time, I was also doing a lot of activism work. So a whole lot of stuff going on. Good time. Yeah.
That's wonderful.
Yeah. Let's start with Johnny.
Okay. Sounds good.
Are we ready?
I think we are.
Okay, here we go.
His smile is strong like a catchy song, like mine, but all the worries and fears are gone. We were born as sisters, then turned to brothers when we both discovered our hidden colors. Sidewalk chalk to grown-up talk, I wanna be just like Johnny. The summer I figure who I wanna be, the sun brings it out of my skin. I wanna be just like Johnny, I wanna be a man like him. Thinking blue stripes in our bedroom, thinking about brand new names. Didn't really see us in cartoons, but it never seemed to bother me. All I needed was to see it like a magic mirror, cause it told me that I never was alone down here. Where my hair could be short cause it cut your own first, and you told me that it wasn't all assigned at birth. It's okay to be a man and it's okay to not know. You entangled all the thoughts I had and gave me hope. I could always see ahead with the light from your glow, chasing footprints in the sand of your men's 12 shoes. In the summer I figure who I wanna be, the sun brings it out of my skin. I wanna be just like Johnny, I wanna be a man like him. Partying with a nice stuff cooler as everyone. Let the night get newer, we're jumping in. Blue raspberry water, it's mad fun. As the days get hotter, I'm a man. When we pull up at the back with a handful of crumpled up ones, like a small town band. And the people always say that we look like each other, cause we talk in a way that says we're brothers. Dirty slides t-shirts, frisbee till my knees hurt. Tell me how the song goes, teach me how a man grows.
In the summer I figure who I wanna be, the sun brings it out of my skin. I wanna be just like Johnny, I wanna be a man like him.
But I'm still alone at night, away from your protective light and all the things you never said, cause you're just inside my head. Johnny, can you tell me now? Brother, can you help me out? Tell me how I'm supposed to feel. Johnny, I wish you were real. But I'm still alone at night, away from your protective light and all the things you never said, cause you're just inside my head. Johnny, can you tell me now? Brother, can you help me out? Tell me how I'm supposed to feel. Johnny, I wish you were real.
In the summer I figure who I wanna be, the sun brings it out of my skin. I wanna be just like Johnny, I wanna be a man like him. In the summer I figure who I wanna be, the sun brings it out of my skin. I'm gonna be just like Johnny, I'm gonna be a man like him.
Wow, I love it. That's excellent.
Thank you so much. I think we can go into the next song.
I didn't even put him on air. Sorry about that. No, that was awesome. Thanks so much for sharing.
Sweet. Oh, thank you. This is fun, dude. Cool.
All right. So we got one more here. When My Work Is Done. You said it was sort of self-explanatory, right?
Absolutely. Let's roll.
All right. Let's do it.
Dreamy days turn to dreamy nights. Seem so tired, but I'm feeling alright. Photographs make everything nice. Gold and black shadows dance with the light. Dreamy days turn to dreamy nights. Seem so tired, but I'm feeling alright. Photographs make everything nice. Gold and black shadows dance with the light. Just wanna let my mind steep like cinnamon tea on the windowsill where I'm staying up until the moon shines in on the cool night wind. Real soon I'll be free when my work is done. I feel weighed down, but I'm light as a feather. It'll all get better when I'm done. I don't really mind all the work and the time, cause I know that'll rise with the sun when a new work day's begun. Yellow turns gray and the blue turns black and the clock shows 1:10. I feel weighed down, but I'm light as a feather. It'll all get better when I'm done, when a new work day's begun. Just wanna let my mind steep like cinnamon tea on the windowsill where I'm staying up until the moon shines in on the cool night wind. Real soon I'll be free when my work is done. Purple sunset, very nice. I was in paradise. Lost moonbeam. Round and around, said very nice. In ever out, my dream. I know that it'll be okay in the end. It will be hard, but we'll get there, my friend. So take your time, don't be afraid of the night. Before you know it, we'll be in the daylight. Before you know it, we'll be in the daylight. Dreamy days turn to dreamy nights. Seem so tired, but I'm feeling alright. Photographs make everything nice. Gold and black shadows dance with the light. Dreamy days turn to dreamy nights. Seem so tired, but I'm feeling alright. Photographs make everything nice. Gold and black shadows dance with the light.
That song is ridiculously catchy. It's already stuck in my head, man. Now that's
dude, I know, right?
Yeah, no, that's really great. I'm how can people find your music? Do you generally post to YouTube?
Yeah, YouTube is my go-to because I love filming music videos with all of my songs. So if you're interested in that, my YouTube channel is Sturgeon565, and Sturgeon is spelled just like you spell the fish.
Which, by the way, guys, I mean, like, the real deal. Like, both these have full-on videos. I mean, it's the real deal. And, yeah, I like the music a lot. Thanks so much for joining us tonight.
Thank you so
much. Solid, dude. Thanks. Heck yeah.
Cool. And we'll be back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He can catch his breath again. And where were you when directions?
How do you do it so well? When I tried it, every time I just fell to the ground, cause gravity's
IPOS on New York, and let me the call line is 844-967-2789, and we're back with Sturgeon and Felicia. Oh my goodness. Yeah, I kind of just wanted to talk more about kind of like the youth climate movement, but also the election and why it's so important. And I'm pretty sure, I think all of us voted for maybe the first time or one of the first times recently. So that's pretty exciting. But I also just wanted to talk about the recent climate rally and kind of what the significance was of having it on election day. I don't know if anybody can answer that, but I was just wondering.
Yeah. Would you like to come? Sorry, we're not in the same room. Such confusing.
No, you go right ahead, Sturgeon.
Awesome. So I'm not directly affiliated with ACE, Action for the Climate Emergency. That's the group that ran it. But I think it was really fun to do it on election day specifically because, you know, people were already out. They already had that stuff like at the top of their minds. And we actually met a bunch of people who were just walking down the sidewalk and, you know, saw what we were doing. They heard our loud chants and we were banging pots and pans together. And we really did a great job getting the attention of the public. And several folks joined in on the protest. They had never even heard of us before, which I think is one of my favorite things to happen when you're doing a protest. And I think that it's pretty significant to talk about it with Governor Evers specifically because, you know, unfortunately, he wasn't able to meet with us. He couldn't even send out a staffer to meet with us. And it could have maybe been better. I don't know, maybe had this not been on an election day, maybe they would have all been free and they would have been able to do it. Or maybe it was just sort of a strategic thing on his part. He didn't want to get involved in whatever we were doing. But I think the biggest thing is that it was already kind of on everyone's mind, but this really pushed it up to the next level. And I think it really engaged a lot of people and it was fun like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I unfortunately wasn't able to make it. I did make it to voting, though, so I'm glad I was able to do that. But I'm glad, Sturgeon, that you had such a great time and you were able to engage so many people in such a crucial moment for this election and for our democracy as a whole. And I just want to say all of your music, amazing. I just subscribed to the YouTube channel. I encourage everyone to do so. Yeah.
That's great. Yeah. I know like each of us, I guess, are kind of, you know, we are individuals. We're not kind of individuals. But I guess what has kind of been something that's been kind of like difficult with the climate movement, but maybe also like some of your favorite kind of like memories from working in the climate movement? Because I know it's, you know, there's a lot of hope and there's a lot of positivity when you're kind of working closely with a lot of people who have a lot of hope and a lot of positivity. I can go to, yeah, cool.
Yeah, I'll be the first to say, you know, this stuff has its ups and downs, of course. With every step forward, you feel like there's at least two steps back. But I think what gives me a lot of hope is just being able to see the impact of the community work that we do. One of my best memories is for the past two birthdays have coincided with my village's like community service days. So past two birthdays, I spend the morning working in the community garden, just seeing all these people come out to like weed the gardens, lay down mulch and all of that sort of stuff. And it's just amazing to see that. So it's the little moments that you share with other people that really keep you going.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd say one of the hardest parts for me with the climate movement in particular is probably, honestly, doing the research, particularly with the science involved in it. And, you know, that combined with a lot of the local stuff, some of the issues that I run into, there just isn't available resources on the internet when you're talking about really, really local things. Like some town websites just don't keep them updated very regularly and not everyone checks their email all the time. And it's tricky because, you know, you feel the impact like, oh, this is really important. Why can't you not have a Yahoo email? But Yeah, I've got to agree. I think one of the coolest things is seeing all the different ways that so many different people in so many different communities get involved in this, and just meeting all the different people. I think I've made some of my best friends through this, like in my school and outside of school. I think it's mostly just really fun is what it is, which is fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I think it's, for me, I think one of the hardest things is probably, I guess, just like, yeah, again, like information and kind of like feeling like you don't know enough about climate change specifically, like enough to kind of be a part of the movement. But then again, you know, I think that that also does, you know, like if you don't do anything, you're never going to know everything about the climate movement at the same time. But yeah, I think also kind of learning about how people kind of view the climate movement and what they've brought, like whether it's like, you know, I don't know, there's a lot of really great solutions out there for not climate change as a whole, but it's a lot of the like the little things that people do that I think like really add to the movement as a whole. I'm wondering kind of how you view the climate crisis. Like, do you have hope around it or anxiety or concern? I don't know. I can go to Felicia maybe first.
Yeah. Like I've said earlier, I do have a lot of hope for the climate movement because I see the growth. I see the effort put into educating yourselves, and I see all these people turning out. But I do have a lot of fear and concern that that the energy will fizzle out, you know, because we're all just human and we also get tired. So I'm afraid that our energy will run out before, you know, people in Washington finally change their minds and do something about this stuff. But I also have hope that, you know, with every day we're gaining new followers, new people who are willing to join this movement and contribute their energy and efforts towards this movement. So that gives me a lot of hope.
Heck yeah. Yeah, I think there's a lot of different ways that you can look at it. But lately, I've been pretty excited when I think about the climate activism, particularly because of the way that it influences so many other issues. Like, you know, there's no way that you can really talk about climate change without also talking about like anti-capitalism and anti-racism. And in a way, this can make it seem like it's this giant looming problem that is like causing all these other problems, and it's so huge. But also, if you flip it, if we solve climate change the right way, and if we do so in a way that, you know, you stop the government from subsidizing fossil fuel companies and you like direct that money to helping communities of color and communities with lower incomes, and then you really start getting all these other issues through getting climate change. So in a way, it can sort of be like, you know, you picture like a whole bunch of gears, and like you get the key in and you turn one gear the right way, and it just like turned all the gears, and it can have so much potential if we do it right. So I get kind of excited when I work on this stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think too, there's a lot of things that people, I don't know. One of the things that I always get excited about is just planting. I kind of come from the side of like kind of planting plants and food security and that sort of whole process of things. And I don't really know, I guess, what everybody's focused on, but that's something that is very positive to me in education and kind of just like the whole metaphor of planting seeds in education, but also in the ground and seeing that and kind of seeing where people grow. That's something that's really hopeful and exciting for me. And also just learning about more people. I think, I guess I've met Felicia in person, but I haven't met a lot of the guests before they come on the show. And it's just exciting to hear how much they know and how much they can bring to the movement. I was also just kind of wondering, like on for the election, like what is something that you think people, you know, what for you is kind of on the ballot, like really quickly? I know we're running out of time, but.